talk show. Confetti.
Hello? Hi, I'm Debbie Quain, and you're listening to Confetti, the wedding planning business talk show. I'm recording today's broadcast from the Washington, D.C. metro area. Thank you for listening in. My goal is to help you if you are an aspiring or brand new professional wedding planner. And ideally, the show is recorded. I record the show live on Saturdays, the first Saturday of each month. This Saturday, I was all set and ready to go, but lost power several times and just didn't want to take a chance with the loss of power and doing the live show. So I postponed it, and really, I put today's date, September 9th, as a possible day for recording, but I didn't announce it. I didn't send out an email or a tweet or anything like that. So I hope you're okay with that. But I've got some questions here that I received all about being a professional wedding planner and running a wedding planning business. So I think I'm going to go for about 30 minutes today, and then I'll do the other portion at another time, maybe later on this week. Just so you know, you can catch past episodes of Confetti on the weddingsforaliving.com website. So weddingsforaliving.com, and if you look around, you'll see the talk show, and that tells you all about the show, Confetti. And Weddings for a Living in and of itself is a resource I created to help you if you don't know where to begin with becoming a professional wedding planner. So it's geared towards someone who's brand new. So if you have a question that you'd like for me to address on the live show, simply go to the weddingsforliving.com website and you'll see there are several options. You can either click the ask button on the right-hand side. You can use a contact page or leave me a voicemail. I really love to hear your messages via voicemail. So the last show that I did in August 2014, I went through the voicemail messages, but there were several messages that were written, and I want to go through a few of those today, as many as I can get through in about 30 minutes. Okay. This message is from Eileen. Eileen writes, I just discovered Confetti a few days ago. I've learned more in that short time from you than I did during my certification courses. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome, Eileen. She goes on to say, right now, I'm trying to investigate my niche. I've been in business part-time for 3 years. I've planned a few short notice events and really enjoy it. How do I go about making that my specialty? Okay. Well, if that's your specialty, that's a good start. So in any business that you're starting up, you want to do your due diligence. So you want to make sure you do your research. See what the status of weddings are in your area. How much do they cost? Who are the top vendors, the well-known vendors? What's trending, what's not, and it may be very different than what the national trends are. So when you're reading, like, for example, a national brides magazine like Brides or The Knot, although The Knot has regional versions of their magazine, they're talking about weddings on a national level. So you want to find out what the deal is with weddings in your area. It may be very different. So do your due diligence there. And if that's your specialty, short notice weddings, weddings that happen in a short amount of time, and you've got to determine what's short. 6 months or less, 90 days or less, 6 weeks or less, 9 months or less. So typically weddings are planned about a year out. So anything less than that really, I guess, is a quick turnaround. But you have to determine what that is. So that's part of your getting started. And then, you know, use that as your platform, almost like you're running for office. And that's your platform for your campaign and everything to do with your business, your logo, your name revolves around this niche, which I love, by the way. So with your starting up your wedding business, once you've done your due diligence and you realize this is a viable niche, this is likely to work in your area. And for the most part, I think having a niche focused around short notice weddings, quick turnaround weddings. I'm going to say last minute weddings. Let's use that term. It's going to work because there will always be couples that just will need to get married quickly. Once you've decided that and committed to that, then you want to go about setting up the business. Having a business plan is a good roadmap. A business plan doesn't mean it has to be the traditional business plan with pages and pages and pages of information, but you do need to think this through. You say that you've been running your business part-time. How many hours a week can you devote to your business? Are you really cool with the weekends and evenings? And because you're focusing on short notice events, you've got to make sure you've got some resources ready to go. So you definitely have to go out there and meet with vendors and venues and let them know that this is your specialty. They will help spread the word for you, the venues and the vendors. And definitely with the venues, because a wedding usually cannot take place until, let me rephrase that, very little about a wedding, the planning process can move forward until the venue's been determined. So your venues are your mainstay. And let them know that because you do last-minute weddings, that any cancellations they have or any days that they're not booked, you want to know about it. Because when someone comes to you and says, we're getting married in 6 weeks, they need to be really flexible. And you've got to let them know, okay, well, we've got to see what's available that we can get this done quickly, unless they're having it at a place that doesn't, you know, like their home or something. So spread the word that that's what you're doing. And then setting up your business website, it's almost like if you don't have a website now, that you're invisible, because that's where a lot of people go. We go online to do our first bit of investigating. So make sure your website, you have a website up, and that you've make it clear that this is your specialty, that last minute weddings, this you can do this with the business name. Even if your business name does not immediately reflect that, it might be in the form of a tagline, but definitely somewhere on that homepage of your website, you need to let folks know the area that you cover. I see a lot of wedding planners. Sometimes I look at a wedding planning website, it looks great, but I can't tell right off the bat where this person is located. So you want to make sure that it's evident where you are and that you do this last minute thing. Set up your website, business cards, things like that. Social media is front and center. So, you know, make sure you secure your Twitter, your Facebook, although Twitter's kind of noisy, I think, but you know, it's almost like you have to have a presence there, Google+. And then you got to figure out, where are you going to find these people that are looking for you? And I've mentioned vendors and venues. That'll be a great source of information. But just the mere fact that you're doing these short notice weddings, I think is going to be really interesting to a lot of people who meet you. So you're not just a wedding planner, but you're a wedding planner who specializes in weddings that are happening in 6 weeks or 3 months or whatever that is. So you define that. And make sure you own this niche. Meaning, don't bury it. Someone says to you they're getting married in 2 years from now. That's not your ideal client. It's okay for you to say that you specialize in short-term weddings, God forbid, last-minute weddings. That's what I said we would call this, right? And then to continue on with Eileen's question, she asks, should I price these events differently? I don't know if you should price them differently. So here's the thing. You're saying it's your niche, but you're saying price differently from what? But you have to determine, this is part of your planning process, and maybe I should have emphasized that more, what your rate is, what do you value yourself at per hour? Is it $50, is it $75, is it $100 an hour? And then you have to figure out, how long is it taking you to pull a wedding together? Can you do it in a matter of like 60 hours, because then you multiply that times your hourly rate to give you a ballpark of where to begin. And how are you going to price this? Are you going to do this as a package? Are you going to price by the hour? Or are you going to get a group of vendors that are going to put the package together? Because last minute, there's not a whole lot of choices. Well, there are choices, but you got to be flexible. So maybe if you get a photographer, a caterer, a limo company, and get all of them to come together and say this is a package, then that's a few less things for that couple to worry about, and it gives you control and gives you the capability to plan this wedding quickly. Do you know what I mean? So if you can kind of package it that way, but you have to decide that. So when you say, should I price these events differently? Maybe, because someone who's getting married quickly, it's usually when we are paying for a service, we expect that we're going to pay more for rush. So, you know, if it's normally $100 to do something, we may pay closer to $150 for it to be a rush. So maybe you don't change your rates as far as you're planning, but you tack on a premium for the fact that the wedding is a quick turnaround. So you have to make a decision as to how you want to do that. But please plan that out before you hang out your shingle. You've got to determine how this is going to work. And again, be careful and make sure that you have all your ducks in a row. Channeling my mom, because it's quick turnaround and you've got to be ready to go. You have to have these things in place. So you don't want to wait until you have a client to find a cake person, or you don't want to wait till you have a client to find a limo company. You should have at least three vendors in each of those categories you've met with, that you like, that you have checked their references for, and then you can use those people over and over again for your client's wedding. Again, flexibility is the key, so it kind of works in your favor there. Eileen goes on to say with her question, there are a few other planners in my city, and only one has a specialty. She does day off. For the most part, all planning and design is lumped into one great big category with prices very similar. Yeah, that sounds about the norm. There's plenty of business. We have the benefit of being a beautiful place for mountain destination weddings. Wonderful. And we are home to more than 5 military bases and academies. I think it would be very easy to stand out if I went about it correctly. I'm excited to implement this technique to help me advance my business and take it to the next level. Thanks again for all you do. Yours ever after, Eileen. I love your signature, Eileen. Yours ever after. And then she adds a P.S. I apologize for my wordiness. No worries. No worries. So, Eileen, you're in an ideal spot. You've got a beauty. Your location is popular for mountain destination weddings, and that you're home to more than 5 military bases. So those are the folks that will likely need to have, if someone's being deployed, they may want to get married rather quickly. So use that. That's going to be a good area for you to market your services and to make friends with folks in those areas. Because, again, that specialty is going to stand out. I would suggest sending out some press releases highlighting what it is that you do. It's a novelty, but it's a moneymaker if you have the capability and the resources to plan a wedding very quickly. So, Eileen, I hope those questions were answered for you. I know you sent the question in a few weeks ago, but I hope it's not too late. But make sure you do your due diligence and do some research, because I see a lot of us wedding planners jumping in to start a business, but we haven't done the homework, or we are stuck on the pricing thing, so we just don't deal with it until we have a client, and then you know, you're stuck. You got to figure this out now, how you want to do it. And maybe one of the easiest things to do, as I said, is if you already have pricing in place, because you say you've been in business part-time for 3 years, I'm sure you've got your pricing figured out, you can just tack on a premium on top of whatever that is for for your last-minute weddings. Okay, great question, Eileen. All right, what do we have next? This one is from Jessica. Jessica writes, "Hi, Debbie. I'm currently working full-time and looking to start an event planning business of my own on nights and weekends. At the moment, I'm currently working full-time and looking to start an event wedding planning business of my own on nights and weekends at..." Okay, that's where the period should be. Sorry. "At the moment, until..." Okay, no, that's not what she did. Okay, I'm being finicky. So she's working full-time, looking to start a business on nights and weekends until she's able to do planning full-time. She's read and listened to almost every post, and she's so thankful for it. You're welcome. In listening to your recording about 10 things to have before you start planning, I discovered that I pretty much have all of them. I just don't know what my first step should be. Would it be a website, contacting a meeting with vendors? I don't have much planning experience. Does that matter?" Okay, Jessica, so you're asking a popular question. So where do you start? She's referring to a post, an episode on Confetti that I did. I don't have the number right now. I'll put it in the show notes. About 10 things to have in place before you start your wedding business. So the first thing that you do, she said that she's gone through those things. And some of the things that are mentioned on that post are things like, trying to pull it from memory, making sure that you understand weddings, make sure that you have some money, that disposable income that you can use to apply towards the business. If you're ready to go, I would say come up with, again, as I mentioned in response to Eileen's question, is you want to do your due diligence, meaning you research weddings in your area. Hopefully, if I were to ask you, Jessica, what's the budget like in your area, you can tell me. And if I asked you, you know, who are some of the top caterers in your area, hopefully you can tell me that too. Where are the popular venues? Where are people going to get married? You should be able to answer those questions. Because if not, then you got to do some homework and some research. And then I would say draft up, you know, a plan of some sorts as to what hours you're going to devote to this, how you're going to make this work around your business. Definitely, I would say once you've made that arrangement, you know, open up a separate checking account. Business account would be ideal so that you can keep the funds separate. Create a website. Yeah, definitely need that because folks are going to be looking online for you. I would seriously consider coming up with a niche or a specialty, because you're going to get lost with the other people in your neck of the woods who are also planning weddings. So coming up with a niche will help you decide what your website's going to look like and what angle your website, what angle your business is heading in. Because when you become a wedding planner who's just general and doing things for everybody, it's easy to get lost, and it can be a little confusing because you don't know who to market to, who are your clients. And with a niche, you know, I'll go back to Eileen's question. She's doing last minute weddings. So someone who needs, has like a 2 year or 18 month window for the wedding, that's not her ideal client. You know, someone who needs to get married quickly, maybe someone who's about to be deployed because she says she's located in an area where, you know, there are several military bases, then knowing the answers to those questions will help streamline how you set up your business. Legally, you know, you can be a sole proprietor to get started. I was a sole proprietor for many years before I formed an LLC, so don't worry so much about that. Making sure you have the forms that are necessary. You need a wedding planner's contract, because each one of your clients will need to sign a contract with you. Also have a system. What are you going to do each, you know, for each wedding? What do you do when someone calls? What are you going to say? How are you going to respond to, how are you going to respond to emails when people are inquiring? How much do you charge? Where are you going to meet your clients? All of these things you want to have documented somewhere. If only so, only for your clarity. And when you have it written out, then things that you don't know an answer to, you'll almost be forced to think this through. And you need to think this through before launching. And then, you know, I sent out a letter to family and friends and let them know I've been dabbling for a while in weddings and I'm moving forward with the business. So announcing it. But you also asked about meeting with vendors. You should be, that should be ongoing. Definitely do that. And if you're not sure if you want a niche or what your niche might be, get started with meeting with vendors and just talking to them. And if you can find a need that's missing, like if you're hearing a common thread that a lot of brides in this area want their wedding to look really glitzy, but no one here is doing that, that's something that you might consider. Or a lot of brides here in this area are planning weddings on their own, but they don't need a full service wedding planner. That's another, that should, you know, got to pay attention to that. Day of planning would work very well. Or if they're saying in this area, most of these, what, you know, a lot of these are couples are professionals that just don't have time to go through the planning process. That lets you know that full service planning is more, is needed in your area. So by doing these vendor visits, you're accomplishing several things. You're building up your database of who you can refer clients to. And secondly, you're also getting intel as to what's going on in the wedding when it comes to weddings in your area. And of course, you're getting a chance to explain what it is that you do, although that's not the focus of the entire vendor meeting. But once vendors see what you can do or meet with you, then they have another resource to refer to their clients. Because most vendors want a good wedding planner on board, but the key part is good wedding planner, not someone who says they're a wedding planner and really doesn't know what they're doing, or their ego is so inflated that they're missing the point of what it is that we do as wedding planners. And then, you know, making sure you have all of your forms ready to go, and pricing is a major part. What are you going to charge? Figure out, you know, are you charging by the hour? Are you charging by the package? Are you charging percentage of budget? These are things you've got to work out and determine now. And you say that you haven't done much planning experience. Now think about this in the reverse way. If you were a bride, would you feel confident hiring a wedding planner who has very little wedding experience? Well, the answer probably is no. So you have to make sure you get experience. And by meeting with vendors and offering to shadow them or help them out on a few of their weddings, you're gaining experience. So you want to make sure the vendors that you meet that you like, you're offering your time with them. But, you know, any planning experience that you can get is good. And don't downplay it, because the last line of Jessica's sentence reads like this. And exactly, this is exactly how she wrote it. I don't have much planning experience. And then in parentheses, she puts nothing professional. Does that matter? So you have to get away from that stance and start saying, I have experience planning weddings or social events. You can't, if you plan that wedding or plan that event and you were in control for a lot of the portion of that planning, then that's experience that you need to rely on. Those people that you helped plan their events, get them to write testimonials. If you can get that on your website, even, you know, great. Or maybe some out of them providing their name and email and name and phone number so that prospective clients can contact them. But you've got to do whatever you can to develop your skills And if you don't, you know, if it means staging, creating centerpieces, if you're doing the design thing and taking pictures, I always suggest too that you start a blog. I consider a blog to be separate from a website, although the two words have become interchangeable now. But by a blog, I mean an online magazine, a diary of your thoughts, a diary of what you're doing behind the scenes as a wedding planner. Because even though people will hire you to plan their wedding, they still are interested in what you're doing behind the scenes. So don't think that you're giving away too much. This will be a good buffer for that, not having the planning experience. Because when someone reads what it is that you're doing, you know, you go out and you say, I found this great florist yesterday, and look at one of the bouquets that she showed me. You take a picture of that and you blog about it. And then maybe the next entry is, I got this wedding planner book, the Knot whatever book of wedding, book of lists, and I really loved it. Here's why. That's another blog post. So by doing that, people are beginning to see who you are, your style, getting a sense of what kind of things you do. And what that does is it's building trust. So I was speaking to someone a few weeks ago who said that she got her most recent client from Facebook. And apparently this person has been following her on Facebook for several months and then finally contacted her. So it's kind of like they were scoping her out, kind of stalking her, but in a good way. And that's what people will do. So prospective clients will do that. Other vendors will do that. And the media even will do that if you focus on the local aspect. So, you know, those are the things that can help buffer the fact that you don't have planning experience. But get away from downplaying it. Get away from saying, I haven't planned any professional events. No, I've planned several social events. You got to practice saying that and not downplaying it. So Jessica, you know, I don't know if that, I hope that helps. You know, do your due diligence. Research weddings in your area. Make sure you've got that down packed. Second, come up with a niche. And you build your business around that niche. If you don't have a niche, it's going to be not impossible. It's just going to be harder. Get your business set up, you know, legally. If you're a sole proprietor, that's fine. Business checking account so that you're ready to receive funds. How are you going to accept payment? Are you going to accept credit cards? Check. What's the policy for that? Get those things lined up. I would say as this is going on, create a blog. And definitely announce it when you're ready. When you think you've got your things in order, then you want to make an announcement of some sort. But you don't have to do that right away. You know, just because I think a tendency, especially with social media, we want to announce everything right away. There's something to be said about getting a business started, figuring out some of the kinks, and then announcing it. You know, a grand opening doesn't have to happen on day one of the business. You can get the business going, and then as things begin to take shape, then you can announce it and say. People will still find you, by the way, especially if you have a blog, as you're meeting with vendors and so forth. But I'm just saying you don't have to make a ta-da, you know, I'm here, my business has started. So due diligence, do your research, join a wedding industry association, local chapter, get involved. ABC, Association of Bridal Consultants, is a good one. I'm not sure where you're located, but they're pretty much available all over the place. And there are different wedding planner associations, but Association of Bridal Consultants I can speak of firsthand. Create some sort of a plan. Writing it down, brings clarity to what it is that you're doing as opposed to just the voices in your head. So jotting that down, the niche thing, as I said, and, the blogging will get you involved in the wedding planning thing. Get out there and meet vendors. That's very important. You did ask about that. So I'd say you definitely want to make a priority of doing so that you have vendors that you can recommend to clients. You don't want to wait until a client comes on board and you realize, I don't know, not one florist in this area. Can't be that way. You want to get started on that now. Okay. All right, Jessica, I hope that answers your question. Okay. I'm going to do one more. And by the way, if you are in the process of trying to figure out how to get your wedding business started, the Wedding Business Guide, weddingbusinessguide.com, weddingbusinessguide.com is another online resource that I created to help you get your business started on a part-time basis. And Wedding Business Guide works around the day of coordination. So the premise is not that you're planning weddings full-time. Excuse me. It's not that you're planning full-service weddings. You're doing day of. So your ideal client would be someone who's pretty organized. Couples who are pretty organized have done the majority of the planning, have the venue figured out, have most, if not all, of their vendors figured out, but just have realized that they need to hand over the reins to someone else to help manage the last few weeks of wedding, they're planning the wedding. And you'll meet a lot of clients who say, or prospective clients who want to assign that role to a friend or family member. And I always say, that's really, sounds like it's an exciting thing. But number one, I would think someone that close to you would really want to enjoy the day. Number two, even if they say that they want to do that for you, you want to make sure that that person's accountable. And it's hard to have to hold a friend or family member accountable. And then the third thing is, I say that, you know, I've been planning weddings for several years. I also have a trained team of staff members who know exactly what to do on a wedding, on your wedding day, and have the wherewithal to figure out what to do when things don't go right, because it's not if, it's when. A few things will go, you know, a little pear-shaped, but we figured out enough strategies in the several years that we've been planning to make it work so that you don't even notice it. And the other thing is your wedding day is going to go through smoothly. There'll be very little downtime. You don't have to worry so much about overtime, which will cost money. It's not just one vendor or the venue. If there's overtime, we make sure everything runs smoothly and that those nearest and dearest to you know what to do when. We'll make sure your dad knows when to make his toast. We'll make sure the caterer understands, you know, the way the food needs to be served. We'll make sure that the limousines are ready to go. We'll make sure the florist delivers, you know, make sure we keep an eye on the florist and make sure that you're getting what you've paid for. Those are my arguments for day off. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in and you need some in-depth help with that, that's what Wedding Business Guide is. So you can check out the website. Unlike Weddings for a Living, it's not a free resource, but it is fairly comprehensive, and I'm actually in the process of upgrading that. So if you get in now for Wedding Business Guide, you'll get to take advantage of the upgrades that are coming relatively soon. So check out weddingbusinessguide.com. All right. Okay, so the next question that I have here is from Claire. And Claire writes, I've been working under a wedding planner's wing for about 5 years now, and just recently I've started to work on my own with my own clients. I'm a wedding stylist and detail designer. However, I was just asked by a bride and her family to help plan their small, intimate 50-person wedding. Their budget is $4,000. They said they would rather put their money towards traveling and for their honeymoon. My big question is, how do I charge? By the hour, by the project, for each vendor I talk to? The other problem is their wedding is in January 2nd, 2015 to be exact. Anyway, I'm confident I can accomplish this wedding and help create the bride's vision. Just looking for a little advice. Thank you. For reading my rant, Claire. Okay, Claire, thanks for writing. I'm a little biased there because if you're a wedding stylist and you do design, I'm sort of like, we'll stick with that. And the fact that they have a small budget and they need your help planning, you're not quite sure how to price, tells me kind of stand back. This is not something that you're detailed to do. So what you're asking me to do is to give you the answers that you need to charge. But I don't know how much experience you have with logistics. You say the budget is $4,000. I mean, what do you get out of that? I mean, I don't know. What's the most that you can make out of that? $400. And what can you do for them? It says a small, intimate wedding. So I don't know is the answer, because there are different reasons as to why you would charge by the hour. If something is going to take, and you know it's going to take a certain amount of time, you know it's not going to take you anything more than 5 hours, then charging by the hour might make sense. Charging by the project, I don't know, what is your rate worth? If you value yourself at $50 an hour, their budget is $4,000. You're going to absorb a substantial amount of that in no time. The fact that it's a small, intimate wedding may seem like there's less work involved, but not necessarily so. So I don't know how to answer that question for you. If it's like someone saying to me, I do logistical planning, and someone saying they want my help with design, I'm not even going there. I can do the basics, but I'm handing that off to someone else who knows how. So, I mean, if this person's, you said you feel confident doing that, then you've got to determine, I don't know, what's your rate? What do you charge per hour for your design services? Is it going to be the same for logistics? And, I mean, what do they want you to do? Do they want you to do just the day stuff? Do they want you to, it sounds like they must have a venue already because you're doing the design. So I'm really not sure. How many hours will it take you to do this? Again, with this budget like that, $4,000, it's a limit as to what you can do for them. The only thing that comes to mind is maybe either doing some consulting, meaning I'm not actually doing hands-on, but just some consulting, or maybe they pay me by the task. They'll say, okay, we need help with finding a DJ and we need a top-notch florist. Can you do that? And then I'll say, okay, I can do that for you. It's going to cost you $300 for me to do that research. There you go. But with a budget, again, of $4,000, it's going to be difficult for me to come up with something. If I know my rate, let's say my rate is $100 an hour, that's going to be difficult for me to get that in there. So if you're confident you can do it, knock yourself out, but don't sell yourself short. And please don't blend it in with your design. Design is one thing. Planning is something else. So you've got to determine what your rate is, what your experience is. You say you're confident. How many weddings have you actually planned? How many events have you actually planned? And taking it from there. So I know that really doesn't give you the answer that you're looking for, but that's why we have to be careful with regard to the services that we agree to do for someone. You know, are we qualified to do that? And just because someone asks doesn't mean we should. You have the right, and you should say, you know, this is not something I specialize in. You may need to find someone else to do that for you. I'm quite comfortable saying that, and hopefully you can do that with your business too. So, Claire, I hope that helps. All right. Well, you know, that was about 30 minutes of me going on and on. I got three questions knocked out of the park there. So I've got a few more questions to go through here. So I will send out an email and a text message next time around for sure when it gets to do the other questions. So hopefully the information I provided to you today was helpful. You can check out replays of Confetti at weddingsforliving.com. This is episode 372. So confettitalkshow.com/372 will give you the recording for this in the show notes, because I said I would mention. What did I say I was going to mention? What did I say I was going to include in the show notes? I forgot. Oh, the episode about the 10 things that you should have in place before you become a wedding planner. I think that's what I said, right? Okay, well, as always, thank you for joining me. I'm Debbie Quain. I hope you're on the email list. We have two email lists now. There's one for Weddings for Living. Hold on, I'm adjusting this. I'm making sure you can hear me. There are two email lists. There's one for weddingsforliving.com, and excuse me, there's the main Weddings for Living email, and then there's one for Confetti. And pretty soon, the only people that I will send the email to about live episodes will be the people on the Confetti email list. So if you go to confettitalkshow.com, that will take you to the page that tells you about the show, and you'll also see a link in there to sign up for the email notifications for the live show. Again, I didn't do that today, but I will do that moving forward. Okay? As always, lots of love and success. I look forward to talking to you in the near future. Have a great evening. Take care. Bye. Confetti, a wedding planning business talk show.